Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's about time for Sunday school. Actually, it's a little past time for Sunday school, so I'd like to invite you all to come in and have a seat. We're going to get started here in just a moment. And we're in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 16. Father, I ask your blessing on this morning and on your word, and that we would have eyes to see things that would give life to our souls and spirits, that would give us new ways to walk with you and walk in you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So last week we talked about this part on fasting, and it says, "Moreover, when you fast, don't be as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you appear not unto men to fast, but unto your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly." And I read that again just because reminders are good. And so we have a promise that God will bless when we fast, that God will bless when we pray, that God will bless when we give. But we're supposed to give, we're supposed to fast, we're supposed to pray in secret. So it almost becomes an exciting partnership with God, where you can do something in secret and see how he can reward you openly. And this next section is one of the more powerful little sections in Scripture, and we're going to talk about the currency of heaven, or divine exchange. And it says this: "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." It is our nature to lay up treasures upon earth. And we do it one of two ways. We can do it by setting aside for ourselves in storehouses or bank accounts, right? Saving. How many of you have ever heard the stories of these little old ladies, and they live on a shoestring in a little hovel of a house, and then they die and they find out they've got millions of dollars in their bank account, you know? And that's one way that we tend to store up for ourselves on the earth, is we put it aside, we save it. And in some ways, you know, there's wisdom in that, right? Save your money, you know, that's the thing to do. But then again, if you save it all until the day that you die, and it's just still sitting there, millions of dollars, then it didn't do you much good, and it didn't do the world much good, and it didn't do heaven much good. And the other way that people store up for themselves treasures upon the earth is by spending their money. In other words, they're using their money to buy for themselves possessions or experiences or travels, things like this, adventures. And they're using their money to have a coffer of a different kind, a coffer full of experiences, a coffer full of possessions and things. And in such a way, they're also storing up for themselves treasures upon earth. And we've seen that. We've all heard stories of people who have a public image where we assume they're famous. We know they've made a lot of money. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're just living life, the jet set life, going here to there, this country to that country, doing these things. And then one day you hear they filed for bankruptcy. One day you hear they have nothing left. They're penniless. And how many stories have we heard of people who made fortunes but die penniless? Through either fraud or scam, through partying or reveling, through bad investments, through something like that. And so we know those two things are not really the most effective way to manage your money. Saving it so that there's no use from it, or using it up for this world and this world's pleasures. But there's a third way, and that is to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And I'm sure every one of you, or most of you probably, me, especially the men, might have a dollar in your pocket, or $5 bill in your pocket, or a $20 bill in your pocket, maybe a $100 bill. Anybody got a $100 bill? Pass it up, I have a demonstration.
Let me see if I've got a dollar bill in my pocket here. I probably don't, because I think my kids like rummage through my pockets. Look at that, I don't have it. Hold it. I have a credit card. So that's just as good, right? And so my kids often wonder why I just don't use this all the time instead of money. Because once you spend your money, it's gone, but you can always use this. And that's right. So in the kingdom of God, there's a principle of exchange. And when you're born into this world, you're born with a natural body. And throughout your life, you're going to have an opportunity to exchange your earthly life for heavenly rewards. When you're born, you're given time upon this earth, and you're going to have opportunities throughout your life to exchange that time for heavenly rewards. When you're born into this world, you don't know it yet, but you've got a life full of conflict ahead of you, and you're going to have an opportunity to exchange those conflicts for heavenly rewards. You don't know it when you're born, but you've also got a life of, hopefully anyways, making a little bit of money ahead of you, maybe a lot of money, and you're going to have an opportunity to exchange that money for heavenly rewards. When you are driving somewhere and you get a flat tire out in the middle of nowhere, has anybody had that happen?
Yes.
You don't know it when you're born, but you're going to have a life of inconveniences ahead of you. And you have an opportunity to exchange those inconveniences for heavenly rewards. God said He's chosen the poor to be rich in faith because they can exchange their poverty for heavenly rewards. Because they can trust in Him. The fact that they don't have the means to meet the needs that they have financially gives them an opportunity to trust God and see God provided, therefore their faith grows. There's nothing in your life that needs to be wasted. And I know that many of us at different times have thought, boy, that was wasted. Haven't we? Maybe we had a bad childhood and we wonder, boy, that was a waste. Maybe a bad marriage. You think that was a waste? Maybe some of you in here have gone bankrupt before and you think, well, that was a waste. Right? Nothing has to be wasted. How many of you ever had a fight with your husband or your wife? That doesn't have to go to waste. You can use that conflict to put treasure in heaven. There's nothing in your life
that is outside of the redemptive work of God. And what I mean by that is there's nothing about your life, from your blessings to your conflicts, to your money, to your possessions, to your inconveniences, that you do not have the opportunity to exchange for heavenly reward. Amen. Well, what's the problem? The problem is that we don't see the inconveniences that way. We don't see the bad relationships that light. We don't see the money in our pocket in that way. We don't see the time that we have to live life in that way at times. And so we always search for earthly solutions to the problems and possibilities that our life is made up of. And so the result is conflict. And instead of storing up treasures in heaven, we end up with just a boatload of earthly what-ifs and what could have beens. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. Ultimately, moth and rust have the corrupting power over the things that you reserve for yourself. I reserve my own right to be angry. I reserve my own right to my pleasure. I reserve my own right to my indignation. I reserve my own right to do what I want with my time, when I want. I reserve my own right for all of these things. And what we're doing when we do that is we're exposing those things to the corrupting influence of moth and rust. And we don't want that. Because I'll tell you one thing, $1's worth of inconvenience can be exchanged for 30, 60, or 100-fold of glory. $1's worth of earthly money can be exchanged for 30, 60, or 100-fold of divine currency. 1 minute's worth of your time can be exchanged for 30, 60, or 100-fold. An hour away from your loved ones for the purpose of the kingdom of God can be exchanged for 30, 60, and 100-fold in God's economy with Him. Yep. You remember Jacob, when asked, I guess I'll paraphrase, you know, how old he is, he said, well, my years or 130 or whatever he said, but my days have been short. And I just want us to live life with the full understanding that we always have, that me and you and him and her, we all have the same amount of stuff in our life that we can convert into divine rewards. You know, if he's a millionaire and I'm a pauper, I don't have less opportunity to store up treasure in heaven. We all, our lives are filled round about us with things that we can convert into heavenly treasure if we'll just do it. And so the invitation, or the command of Jesus, is to lay not up for ourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust can corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So your heart is going to follow your treasure. And that's why it's such a good idea to give what you have to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Amen. I mean, even before you give it to the Lord. Say, Lord, you know, my kids are yours. My wife is yours. The money in my pocket is yours. The house I live in is yours. My job is yours. All these things are yours. And I just want to give them to you because I want these things that are in my life to become converted exchange, converted currency. I want them to become something that can be translated into heavenly riches, heavenly treasures. Now, when we get to heaven, how many of you know Scripture says that there'll be some people that get there in the same way that someone escapes from a house that's burning down? Now, normally you don't see somebody escaping from a burning house, you know, with all their luggage and furniture and everything under their arms, right? You're lucky that you got out, you know, with your pajamas on, you know? And so there will be those who get to heaven and they will have no treasure laid up there. The things that they've done on earth will mostly be burned up, wood, hay, and stubble. And they themselves will still almost smell a little bit of smoke, Paul says. They'll be getting into heaven, and most everything will be burned up. You know, that's wonderful. You know, it certainly shows that we don't get to heaven by our works. But when it says that God will wipe away every tear from our eyes, it also doesn't mean just the tears of sorrow we suffer in this life when we go through the various sufferings and vicissitudes that we face. It also means the tears that I'm sure are bound to be cried when we get to heaven, or some of us, maybe, and we realize we brought nothing with us. We made no deposits. We stored up no treasure. And we ourselves got in just barely. And Charles Finney, the great evangelist, said his great concern is, he said, and here he was living a life for the Lord. He said, my concern is that when I get to heaven, I'll scarcely believe I was religious upon the earth. Because the reality of heaven will all of a sudden become so palpable, so sensible. The reality of God. What could I have done had I known as solidly as I know now, as fully as I know now, what might I have done? And so he was concerned even. And so we have to examine our own lives and realize that God has given us all this opportunity to lay up treasure in heaven. And now, we know that some people will get there with not much, and God might have to wipe away some of the tears from their eyes. But what about those, how many of you know that there might be just some little old lady, as the old story goes, that you never heard of, and she's going to get there, and it's going to be like just coffers full. Just because you spent your life evangelizing or being the Billy Graham of your generation doesn't mean you're going to get there and be able to just expect, oh, I'm here finally. Where is that big treasure? You know, well, I hope that you have a big treasure. But if the only thing you ever converted into divine currency was time because you spent your career evangelizing, but your interpersonal relationships were terrible, your money management was selfish, your family, the way you raised them was no good, I mean, all of these other things, then do you think that because you just had the spiritual name above your door and you went out and preached the evangelistic sermons that somehow that's going to mean that you get the best rewards in heaven? No. Because it's about everything God has surrounded us with, from purpose to calling to money to relationships to all of those things, and they're all capable of being converted into heavenly rewards. And I'm just going to close with this little thought. God is so redeeming, he can even convert your failures into heavenly rewards. And it happens through repentance. You know, I know well, there's a when you, even if you get angry at a child or a spouse or a coworker, and you go back later because you see you have something in your life called pride, right? God's so cool, he'll even let you use your pride to store up treasures in heaven. And so you go back later and you humble yourself and you say, I was wrong. I was wrong to be angry with you. I was wrong to say what I said. I was wrong to presume that I could even say it. I was wrong to do that. Will you forgive me? And now all of a sudden, you've translated what previously was your pride to something that you could store into heaven. Heavenly riches. It's not just talking about money here, you know, we think it is sometimes, or we think it may be just talking about physical possessions, but it's just talking about the way we live life in general. And all of the things that God surrounds our life with that can be converted, pride transformed into humility becomes heavenly treasure. Bitterness transformed into forgiveness can become heavenly treasure. Maybe in the past your life you've had impurities in your life, morally. And God can produce virtue where before there was only immorality. And you look at the transforming power of Jesus with that you see through the scriptures, and you can see how purity became the heavenly reward of those who before had lived an impure life. That's why nobody should be able to say, you know, I've sinned too much. Well, you know what that means? That means you've got a pile of earthly currency sitting behind you in all of its shame, and you have the opportunity to translate it into heavenly rewards. And you can do that through restitution, through repentance, through humility. And these things can be translated. And so I want you to leave today feeling rich. That no matter whether you have an irritation in your life or a pocket full of money as you walk out of here, that you feel like you've got something that can be translated into heavenly rewards. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would give us an excitement about looking at everything in our life in a new way. Seeing everything as a currency that is calling out to us to be exchanged for divine rewards. And Lord, I ask that you would give us lives that prove the merit of this command of yours, that show forth your willingness and your delight to do this in our lives. And Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all are rich. Have a good day.